learning how to meditate is an important component of discovery of yourself. And it's in that discovery of ourselves that we truly become successful.
Welcome to Biz Stories Shared, where storytellers share their inspiration, motivation, some disappointments, and how they applied the lessons that led them to success. Stories are gifts. Listen as these gifts are shared. Now, here is your host, Charlotte Plott.
Hello, storytellers. This is Charlotte Plott, and I am thrilled to bring you our guest today, Jim Hamilton. Jim, are you ready to be a storyteller?
I'm absolutely ready and excited to be here. Thank you.
Good. We're excited to have you here, too. I'm going to tell the listeners a little bit about you. Jim says that he has been fortunate. He has been meditating for 41 years, since 1973, and when he was young, learned how to combine harnessing the subconscious mind, goal setting, and meditation, and retired at the age of 30. After a number of years of big boat sailing and inadvertently moving to Sedona, Arizona in 1987, he started to do consulting and then wrote his first book, which is titled Visionaries Thrive in All Times. He now has 5 books, with 2 more on the way, and about 140 articles. He has developed a system based, in part, on the science of neurofeedback for rapidly advancing personal and collective consciousness. Well, Jim, I've given our listeners just a little summary about you, so will you take a minute and tell us more about you personally, because we want to get to know you better, and then give us an overview of your business.
Well, first and foremost, thank you for the opportunity to be here. What I would say, with a background in 40 plus years of meditation and now quite a bit of background in neurofeedback, I've discovered that our center is our nervous system, and learning how to listen with our nervous system and understanding our inner dialogue is what's most important. In other words, true success comes from understanding your spiritual nature, clearing out your inner dialogue so that you can hear better, and developing your intuition, and actually bringing all that into the business world, frankly.
Well, that sounds like you have learned so much through your meditating, and I've just tried my first really experience with meditating, and it takes a long time to get to feel comfortable with that, doesn't it?
Well, you know, so meditation is an introspective experience, and most of us are really unaware of our minds, the part they play in our life, except that they run constantly. And so meditation, neurofeedback, some of the other things I do is about that introspective experience, which requires that you learn how to become quiet internally. That's what I mean about this inner dialogue, because most people's inner dialogue just kind of runs on end. And so learning how to meditate is an important component of discovery of yourself. And it's in that discovery of ourselves that we truly become successful. And of course, what my coaching is about and what my books are about and all that type of thing.
Well, can you give us just a little overview of your business? I know you are an author and a coach. So can you tell us a little bit more about that? And as a story?
Maybe I could tell my own story. You know, as I like to say, I started out very young. Truthfully, when between my first and second year and through about 7 or 8 years old, I was in touch with where I came from before I was born, as strange as that sounds. And that camaraderie of where I had come from has kind of driven my whole life, which is to say, I've had this inner spiritual connection my whole life. And in growing up, it's directed my life to the point where, for example, I ignored, if you will, college. I barely got out of high school. I discovered harnessing the subconscious mind, goal setting, and meditation. And I was retired by the time I was 30. In fact, one of my goals was suntanned feet. And so my life has been a product of doing what I've wanted to do, doing what I've been driven to do, doing what's important to me, rather than following the straight and narrow as so many do, the black and white version of going forward. And as I've continued to unfold my nature, my discoveries about myself, I've started documenting it with books. And so my first book, Visionaries Thrive in All Times, is about how we create our realities. Core Resonance, the second book, is about our core. And when we have coherence internally, we have resonance with the cosmos, as wild as that sounds. But what it means is that we're not here by ourselves. We're plugged into something bigger. All of nature is plugged into a single governance. And the humans being out of sync with that, it's why we're so dysfunctional. And so re-enabling these connections is important. My third book is called Beyond Words. Fourth one is called What If Prosperity Has Nothing to Do with Money? And the fifth one, Core Resonance, or I should say the 12 premises of Core Resonance Colonies. So that's if in a storyline, what it is my discoveries growing up, kind of not being at odds with the norm, but instead following my nose, doing what I want to do, having retired at 30, I'm past all that. I've retired once, I stay retired, I do what I want. Money kind of takes care of itself. And my client base is people that want to learn more about how I've become successful in my version of what success is, which isn't necessarily about accumulating lots of money.
That sounds very profound, and something that we need is to have that connection with all of those powers that we have in us and that we usually don't know how to access. So that's really great that you're writing those books to help people in that field. So good for you. Jim, here at Biz Stories Shared, we start every show with our guest's favorite quote. Would you tell us what your favorite quote is and how you apply it to your everyday thinking?
Well, first off, this quote, I think I created it in maybe, I started to say I created it in two parts, but what the quote is beyond resistance lies a world of synchronicity, harmony, and order. Said another way, resistance brings us everything we do not want.
So explain that a little bit. What is the resistance that brings all of that?
Well, let's put it this way, if I can keep it quick and kind of keep it short. Everything in nature is plugged into an order, a guidance, a single governance. The humans are out of sync with that, and it's actually why we're so we are dysfunctional as a species. Would you agree?
Yes.
We're about to overrun our one and only planet, and we can't even agree whether it's global warming or global cooling. We can't agree on anything. And what happens is the humans are in overload. We've got too much information. We can't take on anything new. We're in overload. And so guess what we do? We resist. Because we're on overload, by our very nature, we're resistant, and we continue to repeat the same thing over and over again. And so, of course, my work is how to break out of that.
Well, you have a big challenge to help get people out of overload, because it is so true, and it just seems to be cycling more and more.
So that's exactly what it does. When we're in overload, we resist. And actually, one of my big discoveries, if you will, is that if you understand law of attraction, what you focus on expands. When you realize or recognize that resistance is focus, it's a huge component of our reality creating. And of course, what we have to do is learn how to move to allowing. Part of that is about being able to process what you once could not. But allowing is the opposite of resistance. And when you recognize that resistance is kind of negative or poor quality impetus behind our reality creating, we don't really have to wonder why the world's going the way it is. It's that resistance is a very big factor in life, and we need to move to allowing. We need to recognize that beyond resistance lies a world of synchronicity, harmony, and order. We need to move beyond resistance, and this is what my work's about. And I'll add, there's a portion of the world out there, there's a portion of the community that can hear what I'm talking about, and that tends to be my client base. In other words, some people are more wired to actually want to do something about this. A lot of people just kind of, I don't say go around in circles, but everybody does what everybody does. And if some people are more driven to want to participate to making the world a better place, and frankly, I have tools for that.
Well, it seems to me that it's your world, your business is unknown to most of us. We haven't delved into it, and it sounds a little uncomfortable to think about going there. So how do we overcome that?
Well, I will say that in some of the coaching I do, one of the concepts is the unknown is where everything of interest comes from. The horizon is our best friend. And of course, repeat, repeat, repeat gets you the same thing over again. So breaking out is what it's all about. And like I would say, there's some people that, you know, courage is a component of all of this. And it takes courage to step out of even being unhappy or even just going around in circles. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean, humanity is humanity. We're all learning. We're all growing up. But some people are driven to have more. And it's those people that are driven to have more is who I interface with. And if I can say just really quickly, there's something called the map of consciousness by Dr. David Hawkins. And as you become more conscious, as you become more allowing, as you move up the map of consciousness and become more conscious, we become exponentially contributive. So it's not about, quote unquote, fixing 51% of the population. It's as we become more conscious and move away from resistance and more into allowing, we become exponentially contributive. And so it's not a numbers game like we think. And again, some people are more inclined or driven to want to have this in their lives. And those are the people who I work with.
Well, it sounds to me like they're very lucky that you are working to give them someone that they want to work with. Good for you for taking that on. It doesn't sound easy.
You know, learning how to describe what I do has been the big project. And for example, lately, I've come to discover that a way to describe what I do is called quantum activism. And the word quantum means it's exponential. In other words, one person, Abraham Hicks, are you familiar with law of attraction and Abraham?
I've heard of law of attraction, yes.
Well, Abraham is the channel, says one person connected to source is more powerful than a million who are not. And see, that's the foundation of our spiritual nature. We need to recognize that we're bigger than just our physical bodies. In fact, we're not our body. We're not our mind. We're not even our brain. We're bigger than that. And as we discover our inner nature, we become exponentially contributive. That's the name of the game. And so as we kind of mill about in naivete and resistance and reactionary posturing and this and that, we kind of continue the same. And yes, there's some people that want to break out of that. And sometimes they want to break out of that because they're concerned about the planet. And I have effective and efficient tools for being what I call usefully influential or contributive.
Wow. Well, thank you for sharing all of that. You've shared some of the facets of your life and being in business and teaching and helping others. And along the way, you maybe had some experiences that didn't end the way you expected. So would you tell us a time when you just didn't get the results that you set out to achieve? And tell us that story and, most importantly, the lessons that you learned?
Well, so I have to rack my brains for failures, and I actually don't have any, as funny as that sounds. But what I've come up with is, when I wrote Visionaries Thrive in All Times, it ended up being a monumentous task. I didn't even plan on writing a book. I had actually broken up with a girlfriend. It was a very difficult breakup. And I was encouraged to journal. I ended up journaling for 2 years. And when I finished that journaling process, I decided to write what I knew. And I had come out of a very powerful coaching experience for 10 or 12 years. And in writing Visionaries Thrive in All Times, unexpectedly, 25 months unexpectedly, it ended up being a vast project and overwhelming. And many, many, many times I had no idea how I would finish it. And
wow.
I'd never written a book before. And what I ended up discovering was the game Free Cell. And I have something called Free Cell and the Keys to the Universe now. But the game Free Cell on the computer, it's similar to Solitaire. And I discovered that as I play, I would play the game to take a break. I was maybe on overload, mental overload, or I would just take a break. And I discovered that as I played the game and just played it automatically, I would win games and I would lose games. And I eventually discovered that as I started to lose the game, if I would stop and come back to the game later, I could win the game, which is to say, as I started to lose the game, I wasn't seeing moves that were right in front of me in the playing cards. And if I would stop and come back, I would see moves that I didn't see, and I would win the game. And I realized that in writing this book, that while I believed and had difficulty in trying to complete it or didn't know how I would do it, basically the unknown or coming back, I would have new impetus, new insights, and I realized that I could finish something that I didn't think I could. And Visionaries Thrive in All Times is actually a very powerful book, and it continues to be the foundation of all my work.
It's amazing that you found that game. What was the name of it again?
It's called Free Cell.
Free Cell.
It comes on all PC computers. You can find it on the internet as well, and it's a variation on solitaire. And as you learn how to play, you can actually watch how the mind works. You make moves, you make moves, you make moves, you win games, you lose games. You kind of get some skill. But like I say, as you start to lose the game, if you will stop, because losing the game means you're not seeing moves.
Mm-hmm.
But if you'll stop and come back, you'll see moves that you didn't see at that time, and suddenly the game opens up. And actually all of life is like that.
That it's very interesting how you explain that, because so often when I am working on a project and I hit that wall and I can't think of what to do next, it really is important to take a break and then come back to it later. Don't want to take the break. I just want to keep hanging on and punching through, and it doesn't work.
Well, you know, one of the options is to obviously put the project aside and pick up another one. And then, of course, we get in trouble, so to speak, for not sticking to task. You know, they call it attention deficit disorder. But the truth is, we're much better off when we get stymied or tired in a project to pick up something else. You're actually running different parts of your brain a little bit. You're running different patterns and habits, and then come back to it, you'll come back to it renewed. Why did we pick an early morning to do our interview? Well, certainly we're both the freshest.
Right.
At 4 o'clock in the afternoon or 5 o'clock, you know, it's a very different experience. And I'm not saying we couldn't do this at 5, because we certainly could. But, you know, we need to learn how our brains work, recognize this processing overload, which means we don't even see what's right in front of us. It's a huge... In fact, abundance is recognizing that everything we need is right in front of us. And of course, that's part of what I teach.
And we just need to learn ways, then you teach that, how we can connect with that abundance.
Learn how to embrace the unknown. I mean, that's where everything of it, repeating what you've already done. Everybody knows that the excitement is doing new things, and repeating what you've done kind of gets old after a while. And so embracing the unknown, embracing the horizon, is key to not only waking up, but staying awake and living life to the fullest. And, you know, we can go even beyond that. I work with some physicists now and mathematicians, and, you know, we find common languages, and it's a very interesting world out there. And most of us have our heads down and mostly do what we're supposed to do instead of what we want to do.
That's so true. Well, thank you for sharing that explanation, because it helps us to learn that the lessons that are out there, when we learn them, we can move forward. It's not something that we're going to learn here in a few minutes, but it certainly does open up the opportunity that you have that we can take advantage of. So thank you very much for that explanation. Well, what I want to do now, Jim, is go to the other end of the spectrum and talk about a time when you had an aha moment. Take us to that moment when the light bulb went off, and take us through the steps that took you to turn that idea into success.
All right. I'd already talked about the idea of the big discovery that resistance is a part of our reality creating, i.e., Law of Attraction says what you focus on expands, and recognizing that resistance is focus and a big chunk of our reality creating. But what I want to talk about is what happened to me this morning. Okay. I wake up with insights.
Huh.
I've learned how to, well, first off, I've become kind of empty inside. I process and I wake up with thoughts. And this morning, it got me out of bed and I wrote an article called Reset Your Trajectory, Reset Your Momentum, Reset Your Life. And this morning I bumped my fees from $1,500 to $4,000.
Wow. That sounds like a powerful reset.
So let me see. So what happens is most of us live our lives on automatic. Most of us couldn't even really break out of our box if we wanted to. Now, we can get fired. We can get divorced. We can lose a loved one. And our patterns and habits get disturbed. But we usually will settle back into our patterns and habits, a variation of the same again. And what my work is more about, and actually always has been, but what we want to learn how to do is repackage our patterns and habits. In other words, we do live on automatic. Most of our patterns and habits are established. They're held in our subconscious mind, and we simply go forth, and our ability to trade out of that into something more powerful is quite limited. And so the idea of reset your trajectory, reset your momentum, reset your life is another way to explain what I do, because I do work with neurofeedback when I can work with people locally. We give the brain exercises so that the brain can clean itself up. But otherwise, most of us are simply caught up in patterns and habits. And because we run our lives on automatic, we don't know how to escape them. And my work, of course, is how to move beyond that. And I work with people on the phone as well as in person.
It is a real challenge to change those habits, and especially the ones that aren't working for us. Well, it's good to know that you're out there to help. Well, what I want to do now, Jim, is to ask you to come to the present time and to share your proudest entrepreneurial moment.
What I would have to say is translating complicated to simple. In other words, the concepts we're talking about are not easy for people. And what I've learned how to do is translate this into a manageable form. Part of my work says we need to bring this kind of work into the world of 9 to 5, into the entrepreneurial world. And my biggest success to date is finding credibility with my work higher up the spectrum of the business population, particularly in the entrepreneurial world. As you know, we've met at Alliances. That's a very interesting group of people. Yes. And I find that I have a lot of support in there because people think for themselves. They're entrepreneurial, they're inventors, they're scientists, they're, you know, your attorneys that are even a little bit unusual there. And everybody's kind of a little bit more open. And being able to have that credibility within that group is really important to me because I'm bringing spiritual values into the world of 9 to 5, if you will, and showing people a new way to do things.
I do agree that the people at Alliances are open to so many exciting adventures, and I think it's really great that you have that to offer to us. So thanks for that.
Sure, sure.
Well, Jim, people want to hear stories like yours. And so would you tell us one thing that is really exciting you in your business right now, especially how you came to that conclusion to increase your fees?
Okay, so I was on my girlfriend, when I still lived in Sedona, I was on my girlfriend's roof, and I was fixing one of her skylights. And all of a sudden, the idea of colonies came to me. A colony, just like coming from Europe to the U.S., we started as colonies. We started as ideas, and they enveloped themselves, and they grew. And the United States of America exists. And, of course, that was 235 years ago. It was probably stronger than it is now. Our country has a lot of problems. But what I discovered is that I use neurofeedback. Our nervous system is our center. And that as we learn how to plug into the cosmos, if you will, which, by the way, everything in nature already is. So there's a perfect model for all of this. And as the humans plug back into our very nature, we become exponentially contributive. And I don't really have too much time to talk about this. But what I would say, when an individual becomes coherent, and I have the technology to do this, and a group of six become coherent, we become exponentially contributive. And if I would take this a half a second longer, the Maharishi effect is something everybody knows who maybe Maharishi is. That's the guru discovered by the Beatles in the 60s. What he said was when 1% of a population is meditating in a locale, they will influence that locale. So he introduced meditation to the Western world so he could get populations meditating, large groups. And so like in Washington, D.C. in 1993, they brought in 4,000 meditators, and apparently there was 400,000 people in Washington, D.C. at the time. And Washington, D.C. has very high crime rate, murder, all this kind of stuff right there where they are. You can tell their leadership's kind of poor if it's all rape and murder outside of their buildings. And what happened, the long story short, is 4,000 people meditating over a seven-week period. During the seventh week, crime dropped 23.5%.
For goodness sakes.
This was something that was measurable. All the scientists and criminologists and all the people that were watching got to see how this was all measured. Well, what the point is when this 4,000 meditators became empty, because meditating is like getting out of your mind and you become empty, your nervous system is like a living antenna system, and basically God peeked out through 4,000 nervous systems into Washington, D.C., and in that coherence, dissonance, or crime and rape and all this stuff dropped 23.5%. Automobile accidents went down too. So this idea of the importance of our connection with the cosmos, this importance of our inner nature, our inner dialogue, and this discovery and rediscovery of this is huge, because actually, if we can knock crime down 23.5% by doing nothing, so to speak, by sitting with eyes closed, meditating, and learning how to do it in a group, and even take it farther along in a colony where I'm working with groups of six, and we're using neurofeedback, and we're advancing this at all other levels, I believe we can make the world a better place. It's what my work's about.
Well, it certainly is important to make this world a better place. And has that event ever been conducted again, like the one you described in Washington, D.C.?
Great question. Yeah. So Maharishi effect has been done many, many, many times. They've measured terrorism activity dropping when you have meditators meditating. And what's interesting is they're not meditating on the terrorists or on the crime. They're actually in a state of non-resistance and allowing. By the way, the definition of unconditional love is no resistance to your maker. In other words, when we're out of resistance, innate intelligence expresses through us, and they've demonstrated this many, many times.
Wow.
And so it's not anything new. And in fact, you can go to my website, even on the homepage, and find the Maharishi effect, and I can show you four links that take you to some very substantial studies and demonstrations. And this is criminologists and sociologists and academics and professionals and FBI looking in on some of these studies and also being understood how this whole thing was being measured beforehand. This is not a sleight of hand kind of trick.
Right.
And frankly, it's quite real, and that's why following my nose my whole life, I tend to do things that are more real, and that's why I find myself at this juncture, and even at that, a way to extend this process so it's even more effective.
And when is your next book coming out? What's the name of it?
That's a good question. I actually hope, well, you know, I've got, the sixth book is called, 52 Weeks of Visionary Focus, and it's kind of stalled. It's actually been stalled at 2/3 done for quite a while. I'm not really sure why. So it's a different component, a different quote out of Visionaries Thrive in All Times, 52 of them. And I think I've written about 35 of them. Curiously, they all come out at 480 words, each of the quotes, the extension on the – it's curious. I guess I'm wondering if I can – when I go back to it, if I can go back to that 480-word thing, because I don't do it on purpose. They kind of come out that way. The big book, which – you know, books are – they're a lot of work. But the big one is called Patterns and Habits. I don't know what the subtitle is, but we live our life on patterns and habits. The brain is on overload. We settle into patterns and habits as quickly as we can. And everything on this planet, even all of nature, is patterns and habits. And humans, because we're not plugged into the cosmos, because we're both basically reactionary and resistance-based and survival-based and get what we can get and get what we can get and keep what we can keep and blah, 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 we're missing the bigger picture. And so our patterns and habits are kind of limited. And if we could learn how to build our patterns and habits consciously, then our patterns and habits could serve us much better. In other words, our subconscious mind is patterns and habits, and many of them come from the first kiss we didn't get, the first time we skinned our knee, the first time our dad told us who knows what, or our mother told us we'll never amount to anything, or like my dad told me my teeth were ugly when I was a little kid. Can you imagine?
No.
You have how many years I smile like this?
Yeah.
Truly.
Sure.
So our patterns, when we discover patterns and habits, and again, nature is patterns and habits. If you know what sacred geometry is, that's all. Everything is patterns and habits. And to discover this world and how it really works is, and learn how to harness it, if you will. I document what I learned. I woke up this morning with an insight. I wrote it down. It'll be an article. And frankly, it'll become a component of what I teach.
Sounds very, very exciting. So good for you for waking up and starting writing. That's a discipline that that most people don't have. They just think, oh, I wonder why I was thinking about that, and then go back to sleep.
First off, you have to keep your head clear. And as you have insights, you need to write them down and get them out of your head. In fact, the first step of manifestation is taking something from your mind or from your nervous system, collecting thoughts and ideas from the cosmos and writing them down. You start moving them into physicality. And if nothing else, you want to keep your head empty so that it's open for new insights. And as you learn how to do that, next thing you know, your insights become more extensive, and next thing you know, there are articles. And even if you just get the first third of the article written, at least you have the impetus for the idea. It's important to do that introspective process. Writing is very powerful like that.
Just starting to journal, that's something that you really believe in, isn't it?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, one of the things about journaling is it's private. It's not to be shared. In fact, I would say it's not to be shared, even if you think you want to. It's not to be shared. It's private. It's personal. I would absolutely suggest, though, that you do it. Well, you don't have to. I'm an author, so I write, and the journaling can become something different. But I tend to journal, and I certainly do all my writing with a keyboard. The 2 years I journaled before I started Visionaries Thrive in All Times, everything but the first two yellow pads was written with a keyboard, which means that it's all readable, and it also means it can be searched through, and I have expressions that came up during that time, like the Avenue of Kings, what that means, and some other things. And this ability to document what's inside of us and get it out, it's huge, and we need that discipline. We need to discover how to do that. And, of course, I do coaching. I do a lot of coaching over the phone, and that introspective process is crucial. So what I would say is, in your journaling, recognize that it's private. You don't even have to keep it. You can burn it or bind it up and put it in the trash. You don't have to go back and resolve it later. All you're doing is writing. It's like a catharsis. You're getting all the surface stuff, all the surface chatter out. And by the way, when I did all my journaling, I used to say, "Good morning, Jim. We're pleased to speak with you." And I would journal in a third party, and it gave me a lot of latitude and a lot of room to express myself, because I wasn't limited to just talking about myself. I just gave myself some freedom. "Good morning, Jim. We are pleased to speak with you." And then I would head out in affirmations or whatever was important to me, and I just gave myself extra room that way. It's kind of interesting.
Oh, that is interesting. I really like that. "Good morning, Jim." That's a great tip. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. "Good morning, Charlotte. We're pleased to speak with you."
"We're pleased to speak with you."
And you see, you're not trying to channel. What you're doing is you're just giving yourself that third party freedom to just express yourself. And that's what we have to do. We got to get that surface racket and noise out. And one way to do it is put it on paper. I just encourage people to use keyboards rather than longhand, but do whatever you want.
Sure. All right. Thank you for that permission to do whichever.
Please do what you want. Please.
Okay. Well, Jim, what's the best business advice that you've ever received?
Well, frankly, the best business advice is my own advice, and first, don't give up. You know, we have to keep going. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't learn from our mistakes and we morph into what's next. It's just like this article that came to me this morning. So I have different fees of $1,500 and this and that. And what we have to do is we have to continue to grow. We have to continue to extend. And a big chunk of that is allowing, because everything of interest comes from not where we've been, but where we're going. And when we get stymied a little bit, we have to keep going. We have to punch through. And frankly, often the way you punch through is by allowing the circumstance where once you thought you couldn't and moving beyond, because resistance will keep whatever you're stuck in, keep you stuck there.
Hmm. Well, can you tell me what is the vision of the future of your business?
First off, I'm interested in global empowerment. Humanity as a species has been kind of cowed or kind of pushed down by government, and government kind of has better ideas of what the human should have than themselves. The funny part about government is government doesn't have a nervous system. It doesn't even have the capacity to know the difference between right and wrong. Even our government prefers Monsanto over organic as far as food. And so the humans coming into themselves, discovering their nature, realizing that they have a connection with the cosmos, that they have access to insight and an inner dialogue, is really important to me. And when you take a colony, a group of six people that become coherent, what is that? They've cleaned themselves out internally, and it's not exactly like it sounds, but become coherent internally and resonant with the cosmos, if you will, and you do it as a group of six, you become extremely exponentially contributive. In other words, again, it's not about 51% of the vote at all. It's about discovering your spiritual nature, discovering that you're connected to the cosmos. Let me say it a different way. Everything is a subset of God. Everything is first a means by which God or innate intelligence or source or universal mind or the divine or cosmos or the different terms I use expresses itself. And that's why moving into non-resistance and allowing allows this connection to be built and built upon. And the universe unfolding is solutions oriented. And as we allow innate intelligence to express through us, it will deliver solutions to a planet in need of a few good ideas. And that's really what my work's about.
Okay, that's very profound. Just a few good ideas and a few good people to carry them out.
And some of us are more driven to this than others. So it's not about everybody. You know, as a yacht broker for so many years, you know, I had my 40-foot boat and all that kind of stuff from 26 to 34. One of the things I learned as a yacht broker is that you don't try to sell stuff. You don't try to sell boats to people. You're much better off looking for buyers. It's so much less work because you talk to everybody. You don't disregard people, but you look for the buyers. And the same thing in the consciousness world. There's some people are driven to want to contribute, whether they have concerns about global warming or global cooling, whichever it is, or concerns about government preferring Monsanto over organic, and they want to learn how to contribute. And some people, they're more driven to that. And this quantum activism and this wanting to contribute is who I cater to. I have tools for people that want to make the world a better place, and the ones that don't are still kind of milling. Nothing wrong. Everybody's fine, but some people are driven to want to make a difference, and that's my client base. They make themselves available.
They make themselves available. That really is a powerful way to have your business grow, when you know that the people when they are ready, they'll find you, huh?
It's called resonance. So when you have that internal coherence, you have resonance. And what actually is believed to be a heartfelt experience is actually things resonating between themselves. So living in your nervous system is like a living antenna system. You put information out, you get information back. There's resonance or dissonance. It feels good or it feels bad. And so as I talk to people and I work my way around alliances and some of these other things, and by the way, alliances, I was initially a little intimidated by that group because there's a lot of powerful people in there, some important CEOs, like CEO of Unity. He and I have become friends.
Really?
And the ability to be influential in this more powerful group was a little intimidating at first, but I'm finding my comfort in there. And We need to learn how to express ourselves, and what happens is people will gravitate toward us.
Yes.
The truer we are.
That's
true. The truer
true.
We are.
True.
We have to be true to ourselves first.
Right. Yeah, thank you for that.
Everything else happens. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that. Well, Jim, can you share one of your personal habits that you strongly believe contributes to your success?
Well, first off, actually, I would have to say writing. I would rather say meditation, but I'll say writing. And the reason writing is because there's a discipline. So actually, meditation and writing both have the same thing. They both have the discipline of doing it, of actually doing it and doing it on a regular basis. I believe that in meditating on a regular basis, the discipline of doing it over a lifetime is huge. And I wish I could get into all this a little bit more, and I meditate now maybe once a week or something like that, as long as I've been doing it. As long as your mind is quiet, when next time you come back to meditating, it's still quiet, you're fine. So I meditate whenever I do. But the writing right this minute is a discipline, and I'm driven to do it. I continue to document great ideas. I continue to unfold my nature by trapping the cosmos on paper, if you will. And as I continue to unfold this, it brings me more mathematicians or physicists. I've got a new physicist and mathematician who I'm working very closely with. And by the way, my fees go from now $4,000 to $35,000. I have something that I can provide that's $35,000 that people will pay for it in a minute when they understand it. And that's $35,000 and up. But we're playing it at a different level than most people get. And now I don't have fees. My fees aren't a minimum, but the primary project I want to do is $4,000, and I'm getting ready to introduce something that's $35,000 plus. And it's not the run of the mill stuff that's out there on the internet at all. Because even in our conversation, there's not that much. Well, you know, first off, everybody expresses the way they do, and I've got my ideas about what's what, and I forward those ideas. I look for a certain client base, as we all do. And so, you know, we just have to go forward. We have to learn how to go forward and learn how to embrace the unknown and partner with it.
And keep providing opportunities for people to partner with you, too.
Well, I make myself available, and it's like being invited to do this program with you, which I'm appreciative of. And, you know, invitation. So as I become, say, more credible, whatever it is, more people invite me to want to know what I have to talk about, and I share my insights, my information, and a few people out there are particularly interested, and they contact me. We talk about it more. We find out what might be a fit, find out what they really want, and we learn how to go forward.
And it sounds to me like when you find out what people need, that you can offer to them what you see is their need, and if they believe it and agree, then you've got a start of another colony, huh?
Exactly. Well, what you might say, you know, there's a lot of things that people think they need and they want, and a lot of times we have to distill what's actually going on down to more like the basics. In other words, we don't want to be solving problems out here on the periphery. We want to be solving them at a foundational level. So often people will come with what they want to accomplish, and often we will refine that, and as they come to understand that, they realize, oh, so this is how we go forward. And as they understand that, then we actually bring a solutions orientation in that's so big that it absolutely wipes out the problem and drops them off in a much better place than they would have guessed.
That sounds powerful. Jim, do you have an internet resource to share with our listeners which helps your efficiency, like Evernote or an app? And storytellers, you will find the links to these sites in the show notes of today's episode at bizstoriesshared.com/Jim Hamilton. And that's where you will find his website that he mentioned earlier.
Yeah, coreresonance.com. One of the things that I'm doing right now, and I've been doing it for a while, it's a free call on Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific. And for a long time, this call has been Free Cell and the Keys to the Universe. And I introduce people to Free Cell and how to play the game. And just lately, especially since my website is new, I'm changing over, instead of free selling the keys to the universe as the foundation for the call, it's going to be quantum activism for a planet in need of a few good ideas. So it's an opportunity to be on the phone with me. It's a free call. Sometimes there's nobody. Sometimes there's groups or there's individuals and collections of individuals, and we end up having a wild conversation. And it's an opportunity to meet with me on one-on-one for free, 3 p.m. on Tuesdays Pacific.
Well, would you describe for us who are perfect referrals for your business? By that, I mean the listeners and their associates and clients who would benefit from doing business with you.
Well, first off, anybody, thank you for the question. Anybody that's interested in self-improvement, when I say at a fundamental level rather than kind of icing on the cake, so to speak. The entrepreneur or the person that wants to become an entrepreneur, the person that wants to break out of that 9-to-5 or even that black and white existence and wants to work into technicolor and beyond. So I teach empowerment and I teach people how to, what would you say? What's the expression here? What was my, reset your trajectory, reset your momentum, and reset your life. And so people looking for what's next, the people that are concerned about part B would be people concerned about the world as it is and humanity and needing to contribute to making the world a better place, for which I have exponential tools like the variation on the Maharishi effect, the map of consciousness, which I didn't even get to touch on. And so anybody that has a pulse that wants to learn how to express themselves, embrace the unknown, and partner with the horizon, that's my client.
Okay. Well, we'll all be on the lookout for those clients for you.
Very good.
Recommend them to you.
Thank you.
Well, Jim, if you could recommend just one book to our listeners, what would it be? And, of course, you can mention the books that you've written.
Well, certainly visionaries thrive in all times. That continues to be foundational in my work. There's two principal ideas in Visionaries Thrive in All Times. One, if you want to jump ship from what you are, which is the end result of your bloodline lineage thus far, intersecting your environment, we're not generally much more than that. But if we want to become more than the end result of our bloodline lineage, we need to partner with something bigger than ourselves. I call it innate intelligence. That's a fundamental idea. Another one is your nervous system is your connection to the cosmos. And you take those two ideas. I actually sold $1 million worth of neurofeedback a few years ago based on those ideas, discovered something significant. That's how core resonance came to exist. But Visionaries Thrive in All Times is the foundation. I would recommend one other book just for fun. You can look it up. The Book of Love by Kathleen McGowan, K-A-T-H-L-E-E-N, McGowan, M-C-G-O-W-A-N. The Book of Love, and also The Expected One.
That was The Book of Love by Kathleen McGowan.
Uh-huh.
All right. Thank you.
The first book's The Expected One, but the Book of Love is the one I have such a high regard for. I read it about once a year. Very, very special.
All right. Thank you for those recommendations. Well, Jim, I've really enjoyed listening to your journey and the stories that you've shared. So will you please tell us one more time how we can get in touch with you and any other resources that you want us to have, and then we'll say goodbye.
Well, I appreciate that. I finally have my bookstore running, so store.coreresonance.com, so my books can be downloaded or order hard copies. My main website is coreresonance.com, resonance, R-E-S-O-N-A-N-C-E. So those are my two primary websites. I take calls by Skype or by landline, if you will. My main telephone number is 310-878-2260. And by the way, the calls come in through my computer. So as long as my computer's on, I take phone calls. And when I quit, and I obviously work out of my home, it's much more efficient for me.
Sure.
But when my computer's off, I don't have to worry about the phone ringing. And my Skype is Jimh, J-I-M-H, 1133. And I'm happy to talk to people. And I look for that inquisitive person that wants to learn how to not only express themselves more effectively, but become usefully influential and more contributive to making the world a better place.
Those are really good attributes to strive for, aren't they? Say them again, please. Become more influential.
Well, we want to become usefully influential. We want to become more contributive, but usefully influential is what we're after.
All right.
The world is actually a very magical place. The humans are, you know, we're kind of looking down at our feet. We're looking down at the sidewalk. We're not looking up. We're not taking advantage of our potential at all.
I agree with that, and I don't know how to change that, but it sounds like you've got some very, very powerful ideas about that, and hopefully we'll tune in to that. So thank you for your visit this morning, Jim. I really enjoyed it and appreciate it, and now we'll say goodbye.
Charlotte, very nice to spend time with you. Thank you for your time and all the good work you do. Namaste.
Thank you. Give the storyteller some love. Go to bizstoryshared.com, click on the iTunes button, and give a 5-star review. Thanks.